Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
You've been fiddling with knobs for 104 episodes now, and you still can't fiddle with the knobs right to get the...
I do that on purpose.
Yeah, sure you do. 104 episodes. This is our 2-fucking-year anniversary.
Seriously?
52 weeks in a year, 52
days. Yeah, I know. I'm amazed we've done this for 2 years.
2 years.
It feels like thousands.
I know.
Okay.
So I'm not really in the mood to do the Amazon promo, so why don't you?
Okay, I'll do the Amazon promo, sure. Go to 1201beyond.com, clear your cookies, turn off your ad
blocker.
Okay. There we have, for the U.S. and for the U.K., 20 recommendations each that you and I have actually come together on, quite a few of them. Some are just me, some are just you.
Except for the one you punked me on. Keep going.
What? I can't imagine you wouldn't recommend the Joss Whedon omnibus.
Asshole. Go on.
But yeah, so we've got 20 recommendations there. If you click through those ads and you go to Amazon, you don't have to buy any of our 20 recommendations. You can buy whatever you want. Doesn't give you a cut in price, but it doesn't cost you any more, and we get a little bit of what you spend. I think in total we've made like $21
on Amazon.
But it's something, you know. And it does help us out. So if you're going to shop at Amazon anyway, either Amazon UK or Amazon.com here in the United States or Canada, then just go through our website and we get a little help and we appreciate it.
Our website?
Your website.
Thank you.
I say our website because it's...
I've invited you, but you have not participated yet.
Not yet. I'm working on it.
So you've been invited, you dick.
I'm working on it.
All right. Before we actually get into the topic for our 2-year anniversary, I actually wanted to ask you something.
Okay.
Is there a way for a rock band to be so clueless that they don't realize how today's 2012 internet works? You're looking at me weird.
I'm trying to think of a good example.
Well, because I have a specific example in my head.
Okay,
there's an early 80s band called Angel Witch. They were part of the new wave of British heavy metal that came over.
Okay.
Really cool, kind of, you know, I think they put out like 4 albums in their original lineup in the 80s. Then they broke up. They put out a new album this year, 2012. You know what their webpage is?
What?
AngelWitch.com/MySpace. Their official webpage is their MySpace page in 2012. So I'm asking you and the listeners, are they so clueless
that
they still think MySpace? What?
Okay, first off, MySpace
dill?
MySpace still holds a lot of bands to it, and MySpace has the player built in, and some you can buy singles right there on MySpace. It does make it really easy for bands. So if you're looking for little local bands that can't afford a big website or something like that, MySpace isn't bad. Which, if Angel Witch is on the rocks financially or anything like that, I can understand them using MySpace. I just laughed
so hard when I found that their official webpage is their MySpace
now,
page.
No, if their official webpage was something like, GeoCities?
GeoCities
shut down.
I was going to say, I don't think they exist anymore, do they?
But if it was like a
Yahoo site?
Angel Fire. Angel Fire's still around.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know Angel Fire. I thought they stopped existing like half a decade ago.
No. They're still around. So if their page was like an Angel Fire page and they still had like the rotating skull gifs and you know, somewhere there's a little under construction guy, then they're clueless. But MySpace, if they're on the financial rocks, I'll let them slide. I'll let them slide on that one.
I just thought that was fucked up when I saw that.
It's funny because I do occasionally go to my MySpace page, very occasionally, and it is just like a ghost town.
So that's actually not our topic. Our topic is going to be video games and TV shows.
Yes.
Now, we're going to try and leave movies out. In some cases, they're going to kind of cross-promote. Because video game movies are going to be a later topic.
Right.
So we're going to try and do that separately. Right.
The gorgeous works of art that they are. The shining examples of what cinema should be.
There's a few that are better than they should be, but we'll talk about those when we get to them. So I want to start with what I think was... First, I need to ask you, do you differentiate pinball from video games?
Yes and no. Yes, it's definitely different. Yes, it's kind of a dying...
Because you used to see like on Happy Days, they'd play pinball.
Right.
Could that be video games and TV or not? That's why I'm asking,
do you draw the line
on pinball or you know, it's got to be a coin-op graphics game?
Well, that's not exactly what I was talking about when I was talking about...
I know, but I'm just saying that's a subgenre.
No, I think pinball kind of sits on its own. Pinball is pinball because I adore pinball. I love a good pinball machine.
Yes, as long as both flippers work and stuff.
Yeah, if it's all working and it's a fun pinball table, I will spend money on that before I'll spend money on a video game.
By the way, I want to say on a totally selfish note, if anyone out there has the 1991 Bally Judge Dredd pinball game that they want to get rid of, please contact me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. I want that 1991 Judge Dredd Bally pinball game so goddamn bad.
You know which one I used to play a whole lot?
What's that?
And the reason why was because it was at the pizza place that I used to work at.
What's that?
It's not there anymore.
The pizza place or the pinball game?
The pizza place is still there. The pinball game is gone. The 1989 Batman pinball game.
Oh, from the movie.
Yes.
A hotel near me had a classic Star Trek one. At one point, remember how they always had those really bad, like, street sign kind of graphics?
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the little thing? Like an old-style Romulan warbird would come out and blast your score away and shit. That was funny.
See, but anyway, I adore pinball. I love pinball, but it's in its own subgenre. It's kind of lumped in with video games because you used to find them at the arcades.
Well, because I'm saying not necessarily for this episode, but for the movie one, would Tommy by the Who be a video game? Because it's all about pinball.
Yeah, but that's not a video game.
So, you know, it's kind of, is that video game?
That's the 70s encapsulated is what it is. It's
hey, that deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure can play a mean pinball. It's a lyric from the song.
I know. Okay.
The way you were looking at me, you looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, I'm familiar with the rock opera.
Okay. So, I guess, now this one may not totally qualify for you, but do you remember Starcade?
The Nickelodeon...
No, this was on network TV, 1983.
Okay. Saturday Starcade?
No, that was Saturday Supercade is what you're thinking.
Okay, Saturday Supercade. Then no, I don't.
For those that don't remember, and I think most of these are on YouTube, people have bootlegged them from old recordings off VHS, Starcade was coin-op kid competition on television.
Yeah, oh, no, I don't remember it being on regular network television.
It was on NBC, but it was on
Nickelodeon was when I saw it.
Oh, maybe they reran it, but no, the first run, Nickelodeon didn't even exist yet during first run.
Okay.
But yeah, for those that don't know, Starcade was an entire wall of coin-op games, and we're talking Defender, Space Invaders kind of stuff.
Classics.
And then you'd have like 30 or 45 seconds to score higher than the other guy you're playing against to win money and stuff. So it was a competition game show of coin-op games.
Oh, yeah.
It's so awesome!
It was, and it... And I remember they used to debut some of the new games.
Yeah.
And you'd see it on Starcade and then be like, when is that coming to Sultan's Castle? I want it. I want to play.
So it's like, oh, Starcade, it's so brutally dated, but at the same time just floods memories over me of watching that on Saturday morning.
And was that the one that at the very end they had all the TVs playing basically attract screens from different games, and you had to name the games as quickly as you could? That was their bonus round?
No. Well, maybe they did that, but I don't remember that part.
Okay.
The one I remember, maybe it was like the championships at the end of the season or something, they had a green screen, well, blue screen back then, a blue screen where the competitor would play the video game. Like he's in it. And, you know, when he's punching an asteroid
that
or something.
That was Nick Arcade.
That was
Nick Arcade.
Okay, because I distinctly remember
that. You're getting the two confused.
They're the same show.
Well, Nick Arcade was the other one. They would come. They had their little Mikey or whatever the hell his name was, and you had to move him across the board. And for some reason, he'd be up in the corner, and they'd be like, left. And Mikey can't go left. Down. No,
it's a side scroller. You can only go right.
Go to the
right. You go right and up, and that's it.
It was a board, and Mikey could move around the board. It wasn't a real video game, but he would move to the next space, and that would determine what was happening next in Nick Arcade. And then at the end of Nick Arcade, yes, they had the giant green room where the kids would play in the video game. And the collision detection on that one, by the way, sucked.
Well, okay, I just want to say this. Scott and I worked in a TV studio. If none of you have ever played on a green screen before, it is so disorienting at first, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It is so disorienting to where your hand is going and where your hand is going.
Exactly, because when you look into a mirror and you move, your reflection moves one way. When you look into a TV screen and you move, it is a true reflection as opposed to a mirror reflection. And so you would move your right hand and it would look like your left hand would come up and move.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's something that can't really be explained unless you've tried to play against a green screen before.
It's very odd.
Which does give you a weird respect for meteorologists that they can point so well with that it just kind of they get that. Well, are you talking about more stuff like...
I'm talking about stuff like the Saturday Supercade.
Saturday Supercade was decent.
I'm talking about stuff in the 80s. I remember the Saturday. Everything and its brother had a Saturday morning cartoon. And you had the Rubik's Cube that was, for some reason, the Hispanic Rubik's Cube with...
Pole Position.
Pole Position.
Which was basically Tron. It was more of a Tron knockoff than anything. No, really. he would hold the rod, and then he would bend down, and then the car would form around him, just like the light cycles. Yes, in the Pole Position cartoon.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
I have them on tape.
I'm telling you, you're wrong.
I have them on tape. I have them on tape.
Okay. Because for me, the Pole Position, the two cars... It was basically like Knight Rider meets racing. Knight Rider meets Speed Racer. Because the two cars had independent personalities and I don't know what you're thinking of.
Pole Position.
But no, it ain't that.
There's one big one I'm thinking of that I loved as a kid. Today
doesn't hold up.
Oh no, it not only doesn't hold up. I'm embarrassed for my past self for having liked this show.
Which was?
Dude, Mario! The Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yeah.
Go and do the Mario!
See, I was going back even further.
Right, I'm just saying that was a big part of my childhood.
Definitely.
I'm embarrassed for past me.
And you look at Captain Lou Albino and you're like, ha ha ha, the check cleared, didn't it?
No, he admitted that in later interviews. That he only did that because he had IRS problems.
Well, sure.
He had bills. It was either you take the show or you're probably going to go to jail.
Exactly.
I am Mario now!
Exactly. Mario's got rubber bands in his face. No, the ones that I'm thinking of were like Q-Bert had a Saturday morning cartoon.
No, he didn't. That was part of Saturday Supercade.
Q-Bert had a Saturday morning cartoon.
Not really. He was part of another show.
Donkey Kong.
Part of Saturday Supercade.
Donkey Kong Jr. had their show.
So did Pitfall Harry.
Pitfall Harry.
And Space Ace.
And Space Ace. Yes, I
those were all, and yes. Frogger. Those were all part of Saturday Supercade.
Yep.
Which was an hour-long show with 8-minute little vignettes.
Right. But and, you have to understand, to me as a kid, they were just 8-minute shows.
Right. I get that. And the funniest thing is how we think of Mario today. He's the villain in the Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. episodes.
Yes.
He's almost mustache twirling, snidely whiplash kind of villain, and you kind of go, that's not the Mario we know, is it?
But that's the truth.
Because even Mario Brothers, just Mario Brothers didn't even exist yet. So Mario only existed as the villain in the Donkey Kong games at that point. Mario Brothers was 84. This Saturday Supercade was 83.
In the games, Mario/Jumpman was never the villain.
Kinda. And
until you got to Donkey Kong Jr.
He was still Yeah, okay.
Because he was the hero going after Princess Peach.
It wasn't Princess Peach back then.
I know, but it was Princess Peach.
No, she was white. Princess Peach is pink.
Okay. But anyway, it was Jumpman going after his girlfriend.
Yep.
And he was a hero. He became the villain come Donkey Kong Jr.
Okay, yeah. Well, he was the villain in the cartoon.
Yeah, he trapped Daddy because the cartoon centered around Donkey Kong Jr.
Well, they each had one. There was Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.
Right.
They each had their own. Each one appeared in the other one's show, but they had a different title, and right. One would star Donkey
but then,
Kong.
But then you had some arcade games that were so popular that they had their own half-hour show.
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Which sucked. The game I loved. The cartoon was terrible.
Right. Pac-Man.
I loved Pac-Man. It's got nothing to do with the game at all. But, I don't know what happened to Pac-Man from the cartoon to the game, how he became a multi-amputee and whatnot and lost all his facial features, but I loved the Pac-Man cartoon.
Well, those shows took a lot. Rubik's Cube, for God's sake. You solve the Rubik's Cube and it becomes a magical Hispanic dude.
Yeah, okay? I remember that. I remember that.
So speaking...
So, no, those of you... helps if you actually talk into the correct side of the microphone. Dumbass. Now, for those of you that don't believe some of the things we're talking about, remember when I brought up Super Mario Brothers?
Hey, Pisanos! It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show! With the Mario Brothers and plumbing's a game.
Well,
we're not
to
the others.
To be fair,
you get all
it was the
90s.
Everything
had a rap. You can call us on the double. We're faster than the others. You'll be hooked on the brothers.
On the brothers, Scott.
So hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge.
A little bit, yeah.
That's offensive to Italians and black people simultaneously, I think.
I was going to say, I went to high school with a couple of girls that were hooked on the brothers. Anyway.
So, okay. And now, then there was Saturday Supercade.
Yes. Saturday Supercade, which I loved Saturday Supercade, and I am unabashedly loved it.
I want to say one thing before you play this.
What's that?
These are really hard to find. They've never released these due to rights issues on DVD or on VHS, and there are only two episodes on the bootleg circuit that
only
people
two.
Have. You know, by the way, one of those is from my personal recording that I released to the bootleg circuit. So this show is very hard to run across, complete. Some of the segments, like Frogger and Boomerang, would play them
as
interstitials,
right.
But to find full hour-long episodes, these are really rare.
It's Saturday Supercade, gather round, we'll get your video friends together. Yes, Saturday Supercade is time for fun, and no one else can do better. And it feels so right, because it's Supercade time. Let's have some Supercade fun. Yes, it's Supercade time.
Supercade.
Okay, we've got two or three versions of that it goes through. The thing that amazes me is just how disconnected this stuff was from the video game. Like if you tried to.
Well, for one thing, on that, no, I'm not changing the topic, but they put clothes on them. Like, yes. Hubert's wearing a leather jacket like he's a greaser in Happy Days. And
right.
It's like, wait a minute, Mike Hubert, technically, yeah, I don't want him naked, but he looks weird wearing clothes.
Yes.
And they even set that whole one in the 50s, and it just, these things were weird. Like, Frogger's a reporter for, like, an Inquirer-type newspaper that operates out of the swamp, and it's like, how did you get that from the game?
There was a lot of cocaine.
It was the 80s.
In the 80s.
It was the 80s. I'll give you that, Scott.
And, yeah. But,
the one I'm going to side with you totally on, just play the Rubik's Cube open, and then we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, this one was weird, and I remember distinctly, this one played after, do you remember the Menudo Saturday cartoon?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yes. This always, it either played opposite of it, or it aired right after it.
No, because I think Menudo was on NBC, and this was an NBC also. Or I think it was NBC, but here's the thing. The actual title is Rubik the Amazing Cube is the actual title of the show.
Yes.
On a mysterious night, Rubik Cube appeared, bringing happy day.
Why was he with a gypsy?
Hello, my name is Rubik.
Just wow, huh?
Yeah, I mean it was a group of Latino kids. That
find him after he escapes from a gypsy's treasure chest. Think about it. It's a Rubik's Cube, which is solved because, you know, there's all the correct sides, with a big blue face sticking out of the white side and legs sticking out of the other. He has no arms or anything, and he can do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, he was a walking MacGuffin.
Yes.
If whatever the plot needed him to do, if he needed to teleport, all of a sudden he could teleport. If he needed to fly, they could fly. If he needed to breathe in space, he could breathe. It didn't matter. Rubik could do anything that the plot required him to do.
Oh, yes.
It was sick to try and watch that.
Oh, yes. But at the same time, I, for some reason, loved it.
And then we have... I personally, like I said, I love this show. It's got its problems, especially in the second season, but...
Especially in the second season. It's a cartoon.
I'll explain why. Just play the open first. I'll explain why. You better already know what this is, audience.
Pac-Man.
That's me.
Pac-Man.
Oh, I must have those power pellets.
All right, now, the first season was enjoyable. You know, Pac-Man and all the Pac people have to protect the Power Pellet Forest from Mesmeron, the only humanoid-looking thing in the whole show,
yep.
Unless you count Santa Claus.
Yep.
No, because Santa Claus fell from our Earth. He hit a dimensional rift and fell into Pac-Land in the Christmas
hang on.
Special.
If you guys don't remember what Pac-Man looked like in this series, there was a computer game, and I think it was just Adventures in Pac-Land.
I've got that on PS2.
No. This was PC only, but you couldn't directly control Pac-Man. You had to kind of tell him which way to go, and Pushing Up Roses has a great Let's Play of it.
Okay.
And it was one of the most worst designed, because you used a slingshot to interact with the environment around Pac-Man to try and get him to go in the right way in a good enough mood that he didn't create mischief, but not in too good of a mood, or he would stop and gaze at the sunset and usually end up dying.
Sounds dumb.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Dumb.
But yeah, arms, legs, eyes, little hat. Did he have the bow tie? I don't remember. But yeah, there you go.
Well, see, here's the thing with the Pac-Man cartoon. First season was fun.
Okay.
And the second season, I don't know what got into their heads, But someone on the production design team decided, you know, we had Super Pac, the Superman Pac-Man character, in two episodes in season one.
Right, based off of the Super Pac game.
Yeah. Let's make the show about him. Pac-Man became a supporting character in his own show, and almost every episode in season two starred Super Pac, and Pac-Man was basically his sidekick. We're trying to keep him out of trouble. And it was like, all right, this isn't even Pac. Why don't just call it the Super Pac show then?
Yeah, who knows?
It's like, that's what I mean, how season one was fun. Season two, Pac-Man became a supporting character in his own fucking show. I hated that. That was just stupid.
And then, that happened to more than one show, though.
But you had this big thing in the early 80s where you had all the video game stuff. Then that died after the video game crash.
Right.
And well, before we even get into the 90s, you remember Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
Oh, yes. With Firestar and Iceman.
Yep.
And Spider-Man, and wasn't there another one that I'm forgetting?
I don't know. Miss Lion, the little dog. Their pet dog, Miss Lion. She actually saved their ass in a legitimate way in an episode. They were fighting the Chameleon, who can make himself look and sound exactly like any other superhero, including mimicking their powers.
Okay.
Miss Lion, there was two Spider-Men, and you know Firestar didn't know which one to blast. Miss Lion was able to figure out by scent which one was Peter Parker and which one wasn't. So Miss Lion figured out which one the Chameleon was. It made sense in the story.
Okay, I can see that one.
But what it came down to was NBC wanted a character that could be an exclusive to the show character. So they asked Marvel Productions to create a new character. Video games were very popular. So a guy gets sucked into an arcade machine and becomes Video Man. And he appeared in three episodes, and he was huge, giant pixels. And he fired pixel bolts and stuff.
kind of like the Moonanites.
Kind of, yeah. So Video Man was in the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends show. He was the regular character that did not appear in the comics. He appeared in three episodes out of the 20-some that were in that show. So Video Man would qualify because he was literally created from a video game, a coin-up video game.
Wow. See, now video games and computers in general also had plenty of influence on primetime, though. This wasn't just the cartoons and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and the primetime one that I remember really enjoying, and then I go back and I watch the show now, and I'm like,
"What the fuck?
The hell was I thinking?" Was Auto Man?
Well, Auto Man was really more of a Tron ripoff than anything else, and that's a movie, so
yeah. But you know, there was also that great Tron video game, one of the best video games ever made.
I love that. Well, actually, I prefer Discs of Tron myself.
Discs of Tron is really really good. Hard to find.
Really one of the cabinets that still has the roof and all the
stand up ones.
Yeah, inside. With all the purple black lights and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to find one of those.
Yeah, that's
again,
impossible.
If anyone has one for a reasonable price, please 1201beyond@gmail.com. I'm not fucking joking. Not joking.
No, I'll go in with you on that one.
Yeah, we can set it up in my garage and charge people. We can make money off that.
Exactly, but nonetheless, Disc of Tron. But of course, the original Tron video game.
Which was really four video games.
Right. It was four games in one. I always found it funny, though. If you watch Tron the movie, and this is a tangent, but it's one that drives me nuts.
All right.
If you watch Tron the movie, not only does Space Paranoids not appear anywhere in real life, and how awesome would that be?
It does now. So somebody made a downloadable for free Space Paranoids.
Oh, I'll have to find it.
Download that on the net. And it's got the same graphics and everything.
I'll have to find it. But the other deal is when he plays the light cycle game, it's always drove me nuts. Always. It shows the light cycle starting off at a 45 degree angle.
Wow, you really are a nerd.
Yes, I am.
We'll save more Tron rants for the movie.
Definitely.
Episode. But, and then you had the video game thing kind of die out, and you know, you'd often see it in, you know, like syndicated TV and stuff. You know, there'd be an episode where somebody would be addicted to a video game, or sure. Like the early Simpsons where he wanted Bone Storm so bad,
sure,
you know, and stuff like that. But then video games became popular again after like Mortal Kombat in the 90s.
Well, after the home console, once the home consoles really caught up after the Nintendo Entertainment System.
85.
Then, you know, even post that when you get into the Genesis era and stuff like that. Then you start to see shows like Sonic pop up again, and
yeah, Sonic Mario. Had two shows. One was Bizarre, and one was Bizarre.
And one is still on today.
Well, because you had one that was basically all kids, hey, look, it's stupid shit. And then you had one where they're in a dystopian 1984 type future and they're resistance fighters. And yep. You go, what the fuck? Who thought that was appropriate for Sonic?
And then today you've got the Japanese produced Sonic yeah. show that he woo.
Well, and then you had...
And I don't mind the show. It's the fans and the fanfics that I've read that just make me go, oh, my God.
Well, and then you had that horrid Mortal Kombat cartoon.
Yes.
And then you had the live-action TV series yes. that Phaelus is reviewing
oh,
now. I
that
remember
was awful.
Watching that. I get what they were trying to do, but I think with that, they aimed... Basically, their sights were off. Because for whatever reason, they said... This whole thing is going to be set like 400 years before the first game. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Mortal Kombat TV series. It's a period piece. What the fuck is the matter with you?
Yeah, and
but I know why they did that.
Another
because that's right when Hercules and Xena were really popular, so that type of fantasy genre where you can use magic and dragons and stuff was
okay.
big. So I know why
that
they
makes,
did it, but it
makes
it just,
sense now, but
yeah, it was a bad idea because no one wanted to see the history of Mortal Kombat. We wanted
to
see modern.
There was another series that, and this is, again, tangential, my apologies, another series that really just had its aims, it was aimed in the wrong place.
Which was?
Which was Starship Troopers, the animated, that awful computer animation that was great for the time, but...
Roughnecks, I think.
Yeah, Roughnecks. Thank you.
I think I have a VHS of that, and it's unwatchable to me.
But they're all on Netflix now.
Who cares?
But anyway, you've got that one, and it was aired in a kids' time slot.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch it now, and you're like, whoa, this was clearly aimed at least early teenagers, maybe later teens.
Well, you had cartoons in that era that did that. Remember Exo Squad?
Exo Squad
was very non-dirty, adult-based.
Yeah.
You know, characters got killed and things like that, and it was very in a very adult show in its first season.
And again, it all comes back to Robotech, which kicked ass. High five.
Robo-fucking-tech. I love Robotech. Love Robotech.
I think that's the first time we've ever high-fived on this show.
Dude, I'm a huge Robotech fan.
So am I.
All right, okay, that's a whole other topic.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Back to video games that made their way into...
But then you have also, there's this... Now, I'm talking not a video game like adaptation, but video games in popular culture on TV. You've got... The way gamers are perceived on especially television like NCIS, gamers are the nutballs that take it way too far and think World of Warcraft is a real game or, you know, real life. And you've got the people whose whole lives are obsessed with the game. And you got the CSI Miami where the kids played so much Grand Theft Auto they thought it was real and are shooting up police stations to you know, dude, maximum points. And,
yeah.
You know, the perception of the gamer on television is frankly sickening to me.
And it's wrong.
Yes, that's why it's sickening to me.
Not only is it wrong, but I mean, even the perception of the gamer in... real life outside of television has changed immensely. You can't have a multi-billion-dollar industry and just have these guys that are locked in their basements and such. Okay, World of Warcraft, maybe a little bit. but you can't have trade shows like E3, which are major media events.
Oh, yeah. They're basically... I'd put E3 just under Comic-Con for...
I wouldn't put it under Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con,
no,
I think, is bigger.
No, no.
Okay, well, I disagree on that, but... Okay,
but that's just me. My, you know, E3 is my yearly Olympics. No. And that's another topic
coming
up. Anyway, But yeah, you've got this this perception change. One of the few game-centered TV shows that really that stereotype just went above and beyond. And I know why they did it. They did it because they were also making fun of the stereotype, which is wrong. And that is South Park and their World of Warcraft episode.
I don't watch South Park.
The boys end up in Cartman's mom's basement, and they're huge and fat and pimply, and they're fighting against one guy that is huge and fat and pimply and also locked in a basement. And they took it well beyond to where you're like, okay, this is a parody of how people see gamers. And by the way, I have to say something too. Women, which... a lot of people, including a lot of gamers, unfortunately today, think that women can't play video games.
Jillian.
I don't
Jillian
know
from
why.
What the fuck is a huge gamer.
My wife, Dawn, huge gamer. And kicks ass at it. She's better than I am in many, many a game.
It doesn't take much. You suck.
Okay. but... yeah, and girl gamers, yeah, there's your shout out. You guys... kick ass. And to tell you the truth, I don't even like the label of girl gamer. I think
gamer. You don't need
anymore.
You don't say black gamer, you don't say Asian gamer, you
don't
say white
gamer. I do. I say the, you know, jigaboo gamers. And you know, that's and those slanty-eyed gamers. You can always beat an Asian gamer cuz they can't really see the TV.
Did you just rush Limbaugh there?
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to me. I blacked out for a moment. Are we recording the show here?
Yes,
or
we are.
Okay. No. But just, girl gamers is right up there in that same level of stupidity as what I just illustrated.
Well, but you've also got just I don't understand why TV writers or TV producers who. You can't tell me that nobody that works on a show like NCIS, which has had multiple episodes that make fun of the nerd stereotype of a gamer, you can't tell me none of them are gamers. You can't tell me that.
Yeah, it really confuses me. It really does. And I've even seen, I've even seen faithful comic nerds and faithful gamers fall into this same trap. Kevin Smith.
Yeah, well, you know I have no
self-professed gamer, self-professed comic nerd, and you've talked about his show where he basically goes, I'm going to fight all the stereotypes by reinforcing all the stereotypes.
Yeah.
And that's what's weird about the older video game shows. In the 80s, did you notice that none of these shows had anything to do with those playing the game?
Yeah, they were about the game. In a weird way, and I mean this as a compliment, it's almost like they had no awareness of themselves.
Exactly.
They lacked self-awareness, and that's what allowed them to, and I'm really stretching a word here, be pure. See, because they weren't saying we need to stick to the story of the game. They just said, hey, we got Frogger. He's a frog. Let's make him a tabloid reporter in a swamp. Okay.
Exactly. We got Pac-Man. He chomps things and goes after ghosts. That's pretty much where the similarity ends.
Well, and the sound effects.
And, well, I mean, that's built in. Look at Super Mario Super Show.
Well, and then, okay, this is a movie, but... The movie Two Idiots in Hollywood, that's actually the name of the movie, the Steven Tobolowsky movie, him and his friend are ignorant little morons from Ohio, and they go to Hollywood, and one of them accidentally gets charged with murder, and the other one becomes the executive producer of Pac-Man, the live-action TV series. It was made in 88, so was an apt joke then.
And I mean, that was during the wane of Pac-Man, but you got to remember that, what was it, 81, 82, that
Pac-Man
we had
Pac-Man
Fever and
Pac-Man cereal, yep. Pac-Man books, Pac-Man stickers. I still got those little, remember those little wind-up Pac-Man toys
that
you'd wind them up and then they'd go, toop, 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 and then they'd walk. I've got two of those still that work.
I've got a friend who's
got a Pac-Man lunchbox.
I've got a friend who's got. I had a Pac-Man lunchbox.
Do you remember the board game that actually you place the pellets in the little divots?
And they were little marbles.
And Pac-Man would eat them because when he'd lay on top of them, it would push it up into a little compartment inside the toy. That shit's awesome, man.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you had Pac-Man everything. Whoops.
Oh, you just got fucking blooped.
Yeah, that's the only problem with. recording with my messenger open is doing this. Yeah.
Just turn it off.
Sorry, Vicky. I'm not paying attention to you.
So what TV? Now, we're talking American TV. If you guys are the foreign listeners have had some, you know, strange video game TV show in your country, we don't know. But what ones have we missed? Because we've hit most of the big ones. That I can remember. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some that have fallen by the wayside.
Oh, I have no doubt. No doubt in my mind that.
Then since we still got 15 minutes left, how about this? How about video games of TV shows? Instead of TV shows of video games, let's go the opposite direction.
Some are absolutely brilliant. The Simpsons arcade game.
The
four players
beat 'em up.
Go after
Mr. Burns, who kidnapped Maggie.
Yeah,
I think.
Go after Maggie.
Brilliant
and a fun game to play.
All those side-scrolling beat 'em ups by I think it was Capcom. A lot of those.
Konami, I think.
I thought it was Capcom. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Capcom.
Okay, maybe. Anyway.
But yeah, like there was those, and I'm thinking like all those. Okay, it's kind of funny when you have. You have all these video games being made into cartoons in the 80s, and then you had all these cartoons being made into video games on the NES.
In the 90s.
Even in the 80s on the NES.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Again, another side-scrolling beat 'em up. And the original, not Turtles
in Time. The arcade is what you're talking about, yeah.
A brilliant and fun game that I used to enjoy playing. Like NES.
Frustrating as shit.
Yes.
God, just why can I walk over this gap, but I can't jump over it? This makes no sense.
And then you had those weird game TV crossovers.
Like?
Captain Power.
Well, yeah. Okay, Captain
Power. Because you could buy the toys and shoot at the TV, remember?
Well, but yeah, it was kind of a game. It wasn't really a video game in the traditional sense.
Right, right. It was a weird little crossover, but you could buy the toys and shoot at the TV.
Well, actually, the TV would shoot at you, too.
And the TV would shoot back.
For those that don't know, we should go into a little bit of history of this.
Sure.
Basically, what they would do is they would embed certain signals into the television. It was a live-action show that used real primitive CGI. Remember that, Scott? Well, what it would do is they would send out certain signals. So, like, when the bad guys would shoot at one of Captain Power's team... It would send a signal out through your TV that would hit a sensor on the toy, like the spaceship or whatnot you were holding in front of the TV, and it would like blow the canopy up on your toy, and then you could fire back. And if you did it right, the bad guy would blow up right when you fired.
Not the bad guy wouldn't blow up on TV. You would get score.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it was actually filmed that the bad guy was blowing up, so it seemed like if you fired when the good guys fired, it seemed like you were shooting back at the TV, which was actually kind of original and brilliant in its own way. At the same time, not so much. But yeah, here is the intro to Captain Barton. No, it's actually a pretty cool show, so I say go try and find this. It's not on DVD, but they're all on VHS.
And it's loading. There we go.
Power on.
Captain Power and the soldiers of the future. Earth 2147. The legacy of the Metal Wars. When man fought machine and machines won. Biodreads, monstrous creations that hunt down human survivors and digitize them. Volcania, center of the Biodread Empire. Stronghold and fortress of Lord Dredd, feared ruler of this new order. But from the fires of the Metal Wars arose a new breed of warrior, born and trained to bring down Lord Dredd and his Biodread Empire. They were soldiers of the future, mankind's last hope. their leader, Captain Jonathan Power, master of the incredible power suits which transform each soldier into a one-man attack force. Major Matthew, Hawk Masterson, fighter in the sky. Lieutenant Michael Tank Ellis, ground assault unit. Sergeant Robert Scout Baker, espionage and communications. And Corporal Jennifer Pilot Chase, tactical systems expert. Together they form the most powerful fighting force in Earth's history. Their creed, to protect all life. Their promise, to end Lord Dredd's rule. Their name, Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
I hope somebody just got a flood of memories from that.
Oh, I hope so. I always thought it was kind of funny that they called themselves Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
But
they were set in the future, so would they be the soldiers of the present?
The past and the future are in a battle, man. Present won.
I also forgot, and it's really interesting, but I forgot how
bad the CG was.
Well, not only how bad the CG was, but if you look at that intro, it's got a very Judge Dredd feel to it. And I know that they had the, you know, Mr. Dredd and the Bio Dredd bad guys, but it really does have a Judge Dredd feel to it.
Most of the episodes were written by J. Michael Straczynski too, before he decided to become a fucking sellout, destroy Superman, destroy Spider-Man, and then right before Watchmen, before he became a total fucking sellout, he was a real writer on that show.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
Me stopping bitching about that?
Well, not only you stopping bitching about that, but something in my brain tells me that eventually we're going to end up with a Watchmen Broadway play.
Have you ever seen the Watchmen Saturday morning cartoon open?
No.
Go pull that up right now and play it for the audience. It's obviously a parody, but somebody made up, what if Watchmen had, you know, sold out in the 80s and become a Saturday morning cartoon? It's offensive, to say the least. So just take a listen to this and imagine the video, okay?
I like the tracking adjustment.
Oh no, Adrian! Looks like the Reds are polluting the city lake! What do we do?
We call the Watchmen!
Strong together, united forever, they're the best of friends. But when trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
Now is the leader, and he loves to party down. Rorschach's friends to the animals.
Yeah, when he's not clowning around.
Why nutty?
Beat up some thugs, say no to drugs, be in bed by 10. But if trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
Spectre's a sensation, you should really never miss her. The comedian's her biggest fan now.
If I could only get that kiss.
OZM, your bestest, couple of crime solving superstars. John can give you cancer, and I'll turn into a car.
Strong together, united forever, come and meet your friends. Have no fear, time's up, time's here, for the Watchmen.
Watch out.
Okay.
Was that as offensive as I said it was going to be?
Close, yeah. Yeah, real close.
But okay, like the Captain Power thing, what the hell was that?
That was my phone.
Okay.
All right.
Well, the Captain Power thing, what it comes down to is very expensive show.
Yes.
And the only reason they didn't get a second season, the toys sold like shit.
I had one.
They were overly expensive because that interactive with the TV thing was... I honestly don't know if the VHS tapes are interactive, too, if it was only the
TV
broadcast.
Yes, they are. No, the VHS tapes are, because I had a couple of VHS tapes. And here's what's really interesting. If you see a baddie that you're supposed to shoot on the screen, you can pause it. And for some reason, that particular frequency that their engine... Because you're supposed to shoot at their engines.
Yeah.
And that particular frequency that their engines are pumping out would still flash in the pause.
Huh.
So you could just pause it and be like, boop, 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 boop. Look at my score. Boop, 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 you know.
Well, and the other thing with Captain Power was Straczynski, being a real writer at the time, was still trying to weave adult themes into it, such as Jessica Steen's pilot character, spoiler alert, gets killed in the finale. And that was a big, heavy moment that wow, the main characters can die in this?
Yes.
Nice. Well, then there's one that we're glossing over because I keep specifically wanting to gloss over it. Captain N, the Games Master.
Yes, we were. You knew we were getting there. You knew we were saving it.
We would have been negligent to have left this out.
Right.
But my God, was that a bad show?
Yes.
Who decided Mother Brain needed to sound like Little Richard on crack?
Well,
not Mother Brain.
Not only wasn't Mother Brain wrong, but they killed Simon Belmont.
Oh, he was just. I'm okay.
They just made him an arrogant coward.
Well, and. I'm not trying to be homophobic. He was the faggiest vampire hunter I've ever seen.
Yes, yes. Okay, Simon Belmont
was effeminate as hell.
Was indeed. I'm pretty sure he was gay.
Except for the fact that he was always hitting on women, which may have been, you know, a little self-loathing.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And then Kid Icarus would Icarus everything.
Yes, would Icarus everything, and for some reason sounded like he had the 3-pack-a-day smoking habit.
Yeah, they had a voice actor. It was like Tone Loke did it or something, man.
Exactly. And then the princess was... Oh, okay, there was one other one that we need to mention real quick that I still can't stand, and it's becoming an internet meme.
Oh, no.
Excuse me, princess.
Well, that was part of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Right.
So,
right. That's
but for those that don't
stupid.
Remember Super Mario, and see, stupid. Okay, this is the one thing that pisses me off about the DVDs for Super Mario Brothers Super Show. They're not put in their episodic format. They're just done as like story elements and whatnot. They're not done as like the normal episodes with the host segment because they don't even have all the episodes. Some of the celebrities that were on it, like Elvira and stuff like that,
right.
wouldn't sign the releases.
Oh,
so
wow.
so
okay.
there are episodes missing that are on, you can find bootlegs of. There are episodes that are not on the DVDs because of celebrities. But the way it originally was structured was Monday through Thursday was Super Mario Brothers and the Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon.
Okay.
On Friday was the Legend of Zelda cartoon. And for whatever reason, they gave Legend of Zelda its own DVD release, just putting all the cartoons on its own DVD.
Oh.
It should have been every fifth episode of Super Mario Brothers Super Show was a Zelda episode.
You would
That's
think.
How it should have been. That's the
yes.
way you and I watched it when it aired.
Yes.
I hate when they do that with DVDs, when they fuck with the air date order for no apparent reason. That just, like, if Saturday Supercade ever would come to DVD, they probably wouldn't put them as episodes. They'd probably group all the Frogger episodes, all the Q-Bert episodes and whatnot all together and
sure.
not air them at
sure.
like they originally aired
That's
on
true.
DVD. That just bugs the shit out of me when they do that with DVDs. Or they sometimes do the exact opposite.
I have a quick question.
Hmm.
I don't know if you know this or not. Was Don Bluth attached to the Dragon's Lair or Space Ace cartoons?
No.
Okay.
No. Don Bluth had nothing to do with those. But, like, the Earth 2 DVD set bugs the shit out of me.
Why is that?
Okay. The way it aired was a couple of episodes aired massively out of order in a continuity-heavy series.
Okay.
In fact, episode 3 aired as the second-to-last episode. So you'd think Sci-Fi Channel fixed it. They aired them all in the continuity order. Okay?
Okay.
DVDs, air date order. And to make it even worse, there's a little note included that tells you what order to watch them. So I'm like, you lazy sons of bitches. You know the episodes are out of order. What would it have cost them to put the episodes in the order that they take place?
I don't know.
Would that have cost them?
I don't know.
And then I even emailed MCA Universal about it.
Right.
And they said, but that's the order they aired on NBC. And
well,
I said,
no,
but they
wait.
Aired out of order. But that's the air date order.
But no, wait a minute.
I realized
wait a
I was
minute.
Banging my head into against the wall for that.
Firefly aired out of order. Continuity
the DVDs
wise.
Are in order,
the
though.
The DVDs are in
Homicide
order.
Life on the Street did the same thing. The DVDs are in the order they were supposed to have aired.
Okay. Are there any video games, like modern or anything like that, that you would like to see this series thing happen in our last minute here?
Probably not. Because a lot of those, like Dante's Inferno, direct-to-DVD movies and Halo movies and that, they're fucking terrible.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't think they'd be able to pull off a TV show.
No. I think there are two properties that could.
If you say Mass Effect, you're getting hit with your own mic.
BioShock?
Okay.
Mass Effect.
Ow. Just fucking save the... You know what? That's it. I'm done. Done.
All right. Josh has seriously just left the studio here, and I've got 15 seconds to fill. So thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. I'm Scott. Josh, do you want to say goodbye?
Eat shit!
Okay. Go to Amazon.com through 1201beyond.com, and we'll talk to you later.